Octopollon Saganti is here in Montreal working on the television series Largo Winch, and it's a show that's a very popular show in Europe, and ironically it shoots here, but a lot of people aren't aware of it here. One of the things that's interesting about your career is that you could probably go in various parts of the world and are known for different things that you've done in your career. Is that correct?
I guess so, yeah. I work, you know, mainly in America, in the United States, but lately I've been doing a lot of work in Europe as well, and now I added Canada to my list, so, yeah, you know, for different things. Largo is going to come out in Canada as well, I think, in the fall, so hopefully I'm going to get some fans and some recognition for this work as well. It's a good show.
For those who obviously are not familiar with the show here in Montreal because it hasn't aired yet, tell us about the character and the role that you play.
Well, first of all, the Largo Winch is a comic strip. It's a comic book that comes out once a year, and it's a French comic. It was Belgium, but it's in France. In France, it's a best-selling publication that tops any novels, anything, any publication at all for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's a cult thing. It's like Batman, Spider-Man here. It's not a superhero, but like that kind of genre in the sense of a little fantastic. It's a mix of Indiana Jones and 007. He's a kid who grew up without parents, raised mostly by monks in Yugoslavia, and who had a stepfather who actually was his father, but he didn't know, who took care of him financially and saw him once a year, and then basically when he died, left everything to his son, Largo, and Largo found out who he was for real, and that his stepfather was a real father, about like when he was like about 28 years old. So he's been... Once he reached 18, Largo started traveling the world and doing odd jobs and just living by the day, and he accumulated all this experience about life, and is a very, Largo's an idealist, so he doesn't really care about money, about, you know, just the bottom line is, you know, living well with people, loving the world, and say preserve the nature, whatever. When he gets presented with the opportunity, well, presented, he's like has no choice. I mean, we can walk away, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with heading this conglomerate, this huge conglomerate, Group W. Also, he's very angry at his father because he kept a, you know, he grew up without a father, and he had a father. He kind of forgives him because he knows that he did it to protect him because everybody was trying to, you know, kill him, and so it was better. The reason why he grew up over there, just away from New York and away from his father, was to protect him. He decides to take over Group W to use the wealth and power of the company to do some good instead of, you know, so, and he puts just people and the environment in general, you know, ahead of profit, and that's why Largo is Largo. In doing so, he upsets a lot of people, and that's why he gets shot at, you know, very often. And on top of it, there's this Adriatic Commission who is kind of pretty much like the dark side in Star Wars. It's the war quarter commission of wealthy men and politicians who have been controlling the world order for the last 5,000 years or something, 3,000 years or whatever. And there are books about, you know, on the subject, actually. And I think it's a true, it's true. You know, there are very few politicians that don't belong to this thing, and they just, like, rule the world and stuff.
Sort of like a Star Chamber.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So, so basically his father left him this baggage, you know, like, you be careful because they're going to come after you. So Largo is surrounded by friends and security people. His best friend, Simon Obernaz, who he met in a Turkish jail and saved his butt, and they become brothers, and they spent the last, like, 6-7 years together, and he brings him along with them. and he makes him the security, like the vice president of security of the company. And then he's working with Joey Arden, who's played by Sidney Penney. Oh, Diego Wallroth plays Simon over now. It's his best friend. Sidney Penney plays Joey Arden, who is this ex-CIA agent who was working for my father. And besides being a babe, she kicks ass, so I kept her on. And then we recruited this ex-KGB guy, friend of Father Maurice, who's the guy that basically raised me. He's like my father. To be our geek guy, basically. He's like the computer genius, and he just can hack in any computers and systems and security, CIA, whatnot, anything, you know. And so that's my team. And, you know, besides having fun, and we get in a lot of trouble, and we always win, basically. You know, it's like, you know, it's a little fantastic, but it's fun.
What attracted you to this role?
You know, I didn't read really the scripts, and I refused the role, the job and the role for about 4 months, because I had no knowledge of the project, and I didn't know the character, I didn't know the comic strip. I think I read it once when I was younger, like 10 years ago when I was in Paris, but I don't recall very much. But it's the kind of comic that I like, so I'm pretty sure that I came across once or twice. But I was in Toronto shooting a film, and after 4 months of persisting and trying to get me on, and somebody, one of the producers, I don't know if it was Dave Patterson, or sent me some scripts, and along with it, like two or three comic books. And I just put the scripts aside, and I just didn't want to do it because I just became a father, and I didn't want to spend so much time away from home. I just spent 2 years away shooting TV with Mussolini and several other projects in Europe, and I wanted to be home with my kid and my wife. And she was there with my kid, and we just opened the comic book, and I was blown away. I just looked at the guy and looked at the way it was drawn, and I was like, shoot, I love this thing, you know. And that morning, I just talked to my agent in London, and said, tell him to leave me alone. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I called it back after 4 months and said, no, like, is it too late? I don't want to do it. Get me on it. So that's basically the story. And then I started reading scripts and stuff, and I read the pilot, and I read a few episodes, and I really liked it. And, you know, I decided to do it a day before we started shooting. So I flew in just like a day before shooting, like 2 years ago. And it's been a great run. I mean, you know, I had a great time. I worked with awesome people. I learned a lot about this kind of work. I've never done action before, and it's not only action. I mean, actually, I think action is like probably like 30%. There's some comedy, there's, you know, some drama, there's, you know, it's fast work. I'm used to it because I'm coming from, you know, soap and TV shows and sitcom and stuff like that, but it's a lot of work. I mean, the first year we shot for 11 months and it just totally drained me. I was just gone, but it's a lot of fun too, so it's been good. So basically, Largo is that, and that's how I got, you know, the job, and that's why I'm here.
You mentioned the soap. You worked on As the World Turns for quite a few years as Damian Grimaldi. What was that experience like? I know you left because you didn't think it was, I guess, necessarily challenging enough after a period of time.
No, it's not that, actually. Yeah and no. I got on the job. I just got back from Europe. I was in Paris for 3 years, and I had a choice to go to Los Angeles and look for an agent and start all over there, and or stay in New York and do theater, which that's what I mainly wanted to do at the time, and even now if I had the balls to do it, because I'm going for the money more than anything else, for now anyway, you know, family and everything. But, or stay in New York, and I said, okay, I'm going to go, you know, back to school for a while and just get back into the media thing and just go out for any audition that comes along, even stuff that I'm not interested. And then whatever, I get, I just drop if I don't want it. But just to get back, you know, after 3 years of just doing something else. And that was the first audition I went out for, and I never wanted to do soaps. I grew up watching one TV set at home, and my mom in Italy, and my mom crazy about, like, South American soap with Sonia Braga, and I just saw people crying all the time and stuff, and I hate it. I said, I always want to be an actor, and says I'm never going to do a soap in my life. I just hate this stuff. Everybody's crying all the time, and just so depressing. And then, I didn't want to do the job, but my agent really convinced me to do it. Basically said, okay, either you go to L.A. or stay in New York, you know, we'll work it out in a way that you can do as much theater as you want. And so it was. I said, okay. And I stopped doing what I was doing before, and I finally started getting paid as an actor in a foreign country, which was a major plus for me, because it was it's harder for anybody, you know, that comes from abroad and don't speak the language very well to work in the States and in any country. And, you know, the character turned out to be an overnight sensation or whatever. Damien was, you know, from working, like, I thought, like, 2-3 days a week. I was working 5 days a week. And from 6 months trial thing, it became a 3-year thing. And I just, there was a misunderstanding with my agent. I thought I was able to do, you know, other projects as long as I would give the producers, you know, 6 weeks notice or something. That's what was in the contract. But in the end, of course, like, in it's very tiny, you know, a magnifying lens, it was like everything above stated is like to the producer's discretion. So in the end, I started booking jobs, and they were great in letting me do in theater. The first year I did 5 plays alone. I was beat. I mean, it was like from 6 o'clock in the morning to like 6 o'clock at night in studio for the soap, and then run to the theater until 10:30 was, you know, in the theater, and it's just insane. I would never be able to do that anymore. My early days of, like, you know, 18, 20-year-old, like, it was insane. But anyways, it was great. But then I started booking movies, and they wouldn't let me do them, you know, because the character was so popular, and I got really frustrated. I started hating the job, and, you know, that's why I wanted to leave, most of all. You know, in the end, I had a great experience. It was a good learning ground. I went back and did a stint like about 2 months ago before I came back here for like 2 weeks, because Martha asked me to go back, and we're really good pals. And I worked with Chris Gallman, the executive producer, who directed me in a couple of episodes years ago. And I had a blast. You know, hard work. You know, it's always hard. Tons of lines and stuff, but it was nice. I learned a lot. I worked with very good actors, Larry Brickman, Claire Bloom, Kathleen Widows. I mean, they're like, you know, Tony Award actors on stage. They're just theater actors that don't do movies and just they pay their house and the mortgage and stuff with the soap. They're excellent actors. So I learned a lot. I used the soap as a studio and as a stepping stone. So I had good memories. You know, I said some things. You know, it's also like, it's not true that I said some things that. I was very angry about the fact that I wasn't able to leave, but as you well know, as a journalist, you always editorialize whatever, you know, you can't, now we're talking for 2 hours, and you're not going to write a 2-hour article, you're going to just get whatever is the salient parts and stuff, and sometimes I come out really conceited and really full of shit, because you just get, like, you know, just statements without the counterpart. Okay, I hated it for one reason, and you just put, like, okay, I hated the soap, boom, that's just, and you say, like, what a dick. You know, what do I mean? Like, you know, we take you on in a foreign country, you know, it's not your country, we give you work, whatever, and you just spit on it, which is not true, you know, and that's what they wrote in papers and stuff, and, you know, I felt bad about it.
We're talking with actor Paulo Saganti here on Montreal's News Talk Radio, CJD 800. Well, one of the advantages of talking in a situation like this is we get to hear exactly what you, how you feel and what you want to say. So that's to your advantage, actually. But one of the things I want to ask, you had the opportunity to work on that show 5 years ago, I guess it was, for a 3-year stretch thereabout. And now, and there were some changes in the regime and things have changed, and you had an opportunity to go back recently to be on the show. Since you weren't there for that span, how do you find the difference in the mood and the whole situation? Because right now, that show is actually going through a renaissance. It recently won a couple of Emmys. It's done very well.
I won a bunch of stuff this year. I was really happy that Martha won and the show won. And I think, you know, makeup and stuff. And I was really thrilled. I mean, I have quite a few friends still on the show. You know, it was like I went back and I was back, you know, like a baby. I didn't know anything. I was looking around like, holy camole, you know. Like, it's been a long time, you know. No, it was good. I think David Wu, our number one director, or the one that we love the most here, is the most talented, I think, who directed the pilot and a lot of other, like 10 more episodes, and is working with us on the last one, said that, you know, all directors should go back to do some TV every once in a while. It just helps you in timing. I mean, if, you know, unless you have, like, you know, huge budgets and stuff, as a director, as an actor, it's a good training. It's a good discipline, because you got to be on your toes all the time, and you got to learn so much, you know, so much material. You don't have the luxury of like shooting one or two pages a day like you have in the movies. The luxury is that you can do a much better job in the movies, and you have more time, as you can go back and do it again if it doesn't work out, most of the time, unless you're working on something like an independent with a restricted budget, and then you just got to shoot, and you know, even faster than what we do right now. But TV is a good discipline, good training. It's fast. This is fast, what we're doing right now. We're doing 7 days for one 40-minute show, and there's action, there's, you know, and it's a totally different quality from the soap. It's not a soap. The soap is even faster than this. It's just insane, you know. So when you come out of the soap, I came out of the soap and I started working with Woody Allen, with Curtis Hanson, Lake Confidential. I was ready for, like, you know, big boys and big movies and stuff. Like, I could just change lines on the set, like the whole page and two pages or whatever, no problem, because my mind was so trained in just learning all this material and changing all the time and rewriting it. It's, you know, it's a good, if you haven't done anything before. For me, I've done theater in Italy, so I wasn't green, but in this language, yes. So you're in front of the camera all the time, every day, and if you work, you know, if your character is popular or whatever, and it's a good thing. And a lot of people come out of soap. Ray Liotta, Julianne Moore, there's like tons of, you know, guys and actors, actresses that came out of soap and stuff, and they're doing really well, so.
It must have been a bit of a culture shock for you, going from the situation where you're a you know, a theater-trained actor and someone who's worked in soaps, which is also very fast-paced, to then go on a movie set where it's kind of hurry up and wait. You do a lot of waiting in between scenes, and there's a lot of downtime when you're acting in a film. Is that a bit frustrating?
No, it's you know, you're waiting 10 hours and you shoot for like 10 minutes on a film. It depends, you know, what role you've got. No, it's just a different thing. It's just going to a different country. Theater is one thing, TV is one another. It depends what you do, daytime or, you know, a sitcom or, you know, 1 hour drama or something. And movie is different. You just know. I just, you know, the first time you're there, you're shocked no matter what. You don't even know where the caterer is, what you do, who you have to see, costume, you know. But once you've done it a couple of times, you just know what to do. As long as you walk in with your character down and what you want to do, what you want from the character, you're fine. I mean, you know, it's all about, like, knowing who you are, and then you're, you know, at least for me, you know, if I walk into something rushed, they call me in to do something, and I got a call 2 days ago, and I didn't have time to work on the character and the whole baggage that goes with that, then I'm not too comfortable. I'll take the job because I want to work, and, you know, you never know if something good can come out of it. But I've given up, you know, some work because it was a last moment thing, and I didn't want to go up and just do a shitty job. So I just, no, I don't want to risk. It's not worth it. You know, I'd love to, but it's too complicated of a character, and I don't want to play myself. It's just something that's not Paolo. It's just, you know, it's just not an easy gig, and I'm not going to do it unless you give me time to work on it and stuff.
You've gone a very interesting route. You were a boxer, you're a model, an actor. Was this all a part of your plan? I mean, what did little Paolo want to be when he was growing up?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be an actor. First, I wanted to be a truck driver because my dad was a truck driver. And then I wanted to be an actor because I saw Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke. And I said, that's it. That's what I want to do. And then my two older brothers were boxing. And my older brothers became Italian champion. And I just followed, you know, their footsteps, and I won the Italian championship when I was 15 years old, 14 actually, I wasn't 15, and I ended up having more fights than both of them put together, but that was, I think, a surrogate for the stage for me. I loved it, and I was quite good at it, but it wasn't a natural thing like my older brothers. I had to think about the shots, I had to think about, I was in national group for like 4 years, so I was doing pretty well. But it was more because I had, like, the training with my family, with my brothers. They were really good and stuff. What I wanted to do, I think what I liked the most, it was, like, performing in front of an audience more than beating up the guy, although it was pleasurable, too, when I was able to, and most of the time it was. So, and modeling was just a way for me to get a working paper in the States. I never thought about anything but acting. But since I quit school when I was 14 years old and I didn't have a job in the States, that was the only way that I found at the time I could be able to that I was able to get a working paper, and I never thought about doing anything besides meeting some beautiful girls. That's what I wanted to, you know. It's a long story, but I ended up doing very well modeling, and I had some sort of a career, especially in Europe. I had a good time, but I never lost sight of what I wanted. I left New York in 89, and I came back in 92, and the whole 3 years I was, I auditioned at the Extra Studio in Paris. I got in, and I was studying, and I was reading only American novels and plays, and just, I spoke English. I started speaking French after 2 years I was in Paris, because I heard it so much that after 2 years I was like, wait a second, I understand it, I know what it means, I can speak it. And I started, so that modeling was that for me. I'm thankful that I was able to do it, you know. I just never really liked it, you know. It was great that I was able to do it. The money was fantastic, and, you know, allowed me to pay my rent and to study, and, you know, and allow me to meet a lot of beautiful girls, which I really enjoyed. They make quite a bit of money, but I never liked it. It was always a half, not even like it's one third of what you can do acting, just in picture. You know, anybody can look good if you look good. You know, and it wasn't my case anyway. I think I worked a lot because of my personality, because I was putting up a show and performing Shakespeare on auditions, and, you know, making people laugh and stuff. And I was working for that.
Clearly, you're very serious about your acting, and I don't know if it's the same thing in Europe, but in North America, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that people who come from a background of either modeling or sports, in their case boxing, are sometimes looked down upon by other actors. And here is a guy who comes from two of those. Did you ever have any of that kind of a problem or stigma from other people who said, who's this model boxer who wants to be an actor?
You know, I don't know, probably. A lot of jobs that I didn't get, maybe, beside the fact that I stunk at the audition or something, maybe this was a part of, the reason why I didn't get it. I actually, it's nice to think, but that's the reason more than, you know, the talent. I don't feel that it was ever, you know, an obstacle for me. You know, I think the fact that I'm Italian, and although I don't really look Italian physically, I mean, I'm not a stereotypical Italian guy that, you know, imagine. It helped me to be noticed a little more, and my accent helped me a lot. And soap, I think I was one of the first, if not the first, foreign guy to make it big in the soap. And after that, like a lot of Germans and Spanish, and, you know, they were South American, yes, because America is full of, you know, it's like the biggest population is Hispanic, but like Italian, European, there were none, just a few English, British guys.
We're talking with actor Paolo Saganti on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. They often say that an actor takes a lot from their personal experiences of their life and bring that to their craft. Recently, back in, 1999, you became a father. How has that affected your acting, if any?
Well, I'm a different person. You know, my priorities are different than before. I think I'm more grounded. I also have less time to just play around but with my daughter when I'm home. So you're a different person. That's, you know, I'm sure of it, that the acting is, it's like, if you're a musician and you play guitar, you play with the guitar, and acting, you're playing with your, you know, you play with your body, with your voice, with your brain, and comes out of you no matter what character you play. So, it depends which place you are in your life with your mind. Doesn't matter what kind of work you do, in the sense of like grounding your character, is going to be played in a different way than if I played like 20 years ago or like now, or, you know, in 20 years if I'm still around and still acting. So it's I think I'm a different actor. I have more experience for sure, and more secure in my mind. Confidence. I'm happier person. I'm a happy person because of where I'm at in my life. And it does affect your work for sure. You know, I'll tell you, when I, you know, if I work in LA, sometimes I check into a hotel
to do some work, because I can't go home and then just be that character or be that, you know, whoever I'm playing at the time, and go home and just take in everything that comes with it, which is the family, dogs, cars, phones, bills, and everything else. I just have to get out, and so I can just like really get into it. So I'm different, definitely.
You mentioned earlier that you were a fan of Paul Newman's growing up, and I read somewhere else that you were a fan of Richard Burton's. Are those the type of actors whose career you'd like to emulate? Where would you see your career going in the future? What kind of roles, besides the ones you're doing right now, would you like to play?
I love theater, and that's why I loved Richard Burton. Paul Newman started in theater on Broadway anyway. I mean, off Broadway and then Broadway, so... I don't know. The business is just different. It's just different from those days. There were very few stars. I admired Richard Burton. I think he's a very underrated actor. He's done a lot of crappy work because he came from a really poor family, and money was very important to him. It was the first guy ever, male actor, that got paid $1 million in Hollywood, and it wasn't even American. This because of Elizabeth Taylor and everything else, but still. It was a big thing for him, but he took his work very seriously. It was one of the best for me, on stage, first of all. And I loved the way he, you know, got into acting, grew up, and made a career out of it. He really wanted to go for it. It was like son of a coal miner, and his family were all like, you know, big burly guys and dude and, you know, real man. And he was this little scrawny kid and was getting on the table like I was when I was a kid, and perform, and he became who he became. And Richard Burton done some great work, but also some like mediocre stuff, because he was going after the money. Paul Newman, I think, had never made like a bad movie, or maybe like some of the movies that he made that weren't so hot, but it was always fantastic in all of them. He was extremely good looking. I mean, he was just, I think, the best looking guy that I've ever seen in my life, and he was so talented. And I think, although I love Marlon Brando and a lot of the great actors around, I think Paul Newman has got such a body of work that nobody still today have equaled or will, because he can play anything. It's just, the guy is it. That's why I when I saw him when I was a kid, I was like flabbergasted. I was like, whoa. If I can be a tenth of, you know, each of the, you know, any of these guys or whatever, I'll be happy. Yeah.
Have you had a chance to meet Paul Newman?
No.
Would you like to work with Paul Newman?
No, I'd love to work with Paul Newman. I think it's like doing more like racing and you know, like doing like his popcorn, you know, business and whatever. But I love his work. Yeah, great guy.
Since you come from Europe, how is it different between the business in Europe and the business here in North America? Is there a difference, or is it becoming more on the same as we head toward more, you know, globalization of all kinds of businesses?
I think it's getting more and more the same. It's true that I'm happy whenever I'm working here, because there's such a professionalism compared to Europe. Everything is just like organized. That's what I mean. There, you know, working, the last thing I did there was TV with Mussolini and Franco Zeffirelli, and beside the camera crew that was English, we had the English patient and cinematographer and his crew from England. The rest were Italian, and it's really very much like a big family. So you get this here too, but it's more like buddy, whatever. Just everybody's got their own job, they know what to do and stuff. In Italy, you break for lunch and that's it, that's the day, you know, because you eat so much. You know, it's not ideal, you know, unless you're on vacation, you know. I prefer working in the States, although I love going to Europe to do a project or two a year, because it's just vacation. And you can do some good work there as well.
Now, what did your family back home say about, I mean, although you started as an actor in overseas, what did your family back home say about your desires and goal to be an actor?
They're never opposed to anything, my parents. Just drugs and whatever, just
trying not to get in trouble. You know, I was boxing when I was 14, and I left home when I was 14, and I was a sailor, and I did any kind of jobs. And my dad, coming from a childhood of, you know, being basically by himself, he had parents, but it was like from concentration camp to, you know, the camp. I don't know what you, how you call it in English, you know, if you're like refugee camps and stuff. So he pretty much grew up on his own, and I think he kind of trusted the thing. And my mom was cool. I mean, if I think now that I'm a father, the thing that I tell my parents is that how could you let me do all the stuff that I've done? I mean, I don't even want to let my daughter just walk outside in the yard by herself. I'm just like, you know, anything can happen. You know, an apple can fall from a tree and get whacked in the head. You know, I'm so overprotective. And when I was a kid, I was getting in trouble all the time. I was at the hospital all the time, broken legs and getting in fights and falling from trees. And, you know, 14, I'm still a kid, and I was traveling on ships and boxing. And, you know, my mom was there cheering me on. You know, I guess that's maybe the best way, because, you know, if something bad had to happen, you know, has to happen, it's going to happen. If not, you know, everything just makes your calluses and experience and, you know, become mature more and more. I think I lived, compared to, you know, people my age, probably a good 10, 15 years more already because of what I experienced traveling around and being by myself and not having the, it's not the luxury, but, you know, the comfort of a family and somebody older or a father or an older brother to go to when you have problems and trouble and whatever. So I had to deal with my own stuff. And I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm a hero or anything. No, I loved what I wanted to do so much. I wanted to see the world so much because that's what my father did when he was a kid, and he was telling the stories, and I was dreaming all the time to do exactly what he did, just go to China, go to South America, go to anywhere to see the world. That it wasn't hard for me to leave home and just, you know, I pretty much busted my butt, you know, 15 years. Like, a few years ago, I just stopped and looked back 1 second. For the first time, I was like, whoa. And I love my family. I love Italy, and I love my brothers, and, you know, I had a few friends in Italy. Not that many, because we moved all the time, but I never really missed any of that, besides my family, but I flew in back and forth to the States and Canada because I lived in Toronto, Montreal for a couple of years too. Because I was so driven, I was enjoying so much what I was doing, although it was very hard work because I hadn't, you know, I was doing anything to just learn the language and go to school and work, and then I was lucky that I was able to model and, you know, do very well at that too, but still I was never home. And some people can't take it. I was going for something that I loved so much that I didn't feel, you know, it wasn't a big deal, you know. It wasn't that I suffered. I did, because so much work and stuff, but it was such a great experience that, you know, everybody says, like, wow, you went from away from home 15, 16 years away, and your family and this and that. I'm like, yeah, it's true. If I think about it, it's like, whoa. But then again, like, I had a blast. You know,
do you think that your story would make an interesting screenplay?
I don't know. I mean, I think my family, when I was a kid, talk about soap opera. You know, it's to tell you one thing. I was in the hospital when I was 6 years old, in a coma for 2 months. I was in the hospital for 2 years. At the same time, my older brother was at the hospital, almost dying from a car accident. Like, got hit by a car on his bicycle. My dad was prisoner in Budapest, Hungary, for 9 months, and then he escaped. And my mom was pregnant with my younger brother and got shot at when she went to visit my father there. And all this 6 months, I mean 9 months home without my dad, without support, without anybody helping but the neighbors and stuff. When I was a kid, I didn't realize how heavy the situation was. I woke up in the hospital and I was surrounded by ladies who loved me, and I was the mascot of the hospital, toys and my classmates that I met like just a few weeks, and then I had the accident, so it was my first grade, were coming and visiting me and stuff, whatever. So I loved the whole thing. And there's a similarity. For like a year and a half, I was not raised by this monk, but my best friend in this hospital was a monk who was the kind of the chaplain of Modena, of the hospital. You know, they give the last rites to people who die, you know, were dying or whatever. And it was next door to the operation room. It was an old hospital. So I was going around with my little bag, because I had tubes in my down my throat and stuff, with a little bag for like 8 months, sliding around the hospital once I got up and I got out of a coma. through the OR, the operating room, to his apartment where he had a collection of minerals and a small aquarium. To me, it looked huge, but I was, again, like this small. And I spent days on end just, you know, with him. He was telling me stories when he went, you know, to Rome and the Vatican and this, and traveled the world and was a missionary and stuff. And there's a lot of similarity with my life growing up, especially when I left home, but even when I was a kid, with this character. And so I pretty much enjoy doing Largo as well. Going back to, it's got nothing to do with what you ask me now, but...
One last question before I let you go, and that is, you come from a family of five boys, and now you have a daughter. Your mother must have been happy when a girl finally showed up.
Yeah, my mom loves my kid. Yeah, she's in love with Stella. I don't think my mom was trying for a girl, really. They were just going at it, I guess. You know, and just, you know, I think she was hoping for one, but she wasn't. It wasn't that she was trying, and they said, okay, five is enough. I guess my dad was always gone, and when he come home, you know, they were getting down to business. You know, no, she loves Stella also because my older brother lives in Brazil, and he's got two kids, one girl and a boy, and she never really see my brother, but once every 2-3 years because of work, because he's so busy and he lives so far. And my other brother has two kids, another brother, you know, my older brother as well. I have two older and two younger, and. I'm the one that she spends the most time because I fly her to Los Angeles or New York or, you know, I go home. And then so she has a chance to really, you know, raise the kid and watch and babysit and play the grandma. So, yeah, she's thrilled.
Largo Winch, it's a success in Europe and it's going to be seen in Canada and North America in the fall. Your plans for the future, would you like to see this character and this show go on for years?
I'm having a good time. Telling the truth, like, I'm really tired. I'm quite beat right now after 3 months, and I love Montreal. I'd love to do a third season and come back and shoot in Montreal. I just finished shooting a film in London, and with the same writer, I'm doing my next project, and I want to bring it to Montreal and work with a lot of people that have worked on this series. So hopefully I'll be here in February, March to shoot that film. It's like an 80%. Already, you know, probability and more than that, that I'm coming back just for that, unless we're going for a third season with Largo, and then I have to postpone that project. But, yeah, I'd like, you know, I just need a break right now, you know. But I'm enjoying working with everybody on the set. I mean, we're working with great actors, and we're having a blast. We get along, and it's a good show, you know. What can I say? I was lucky that whoever sent me that comic strip, you know, in the Toronto hotel, had the brilliant idea to put it, because if not, I wouldn't be here right now. I would do something else, probably, hopefully, but not this. And I had a good time so far.
I thank you for spending the time with us this afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.